So the scripture reading for this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 11, and if you know it, that is the sometimes referred to as the Faith Hall of Fame chapter. These are verses 8 to 16, and we do have it on the overhead. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Thanks be to God. This is God's word, and I invite James to come up and speak to us.
Thank you, Dave, and all of the church. It's nice to be here with you this morning. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are mindful, as we have already drawn attention to, all that you have given to us. And as we stand on the brink of this new year, we look back with gratitude. There have been challenges you have brought us through. There have been good surprises that you have given to us. And we are grateful. And so we want to start this new year with gratitude. We also want to acknowledge you in your faithfulness to us as your people. And as we reflect for a few moments this morning, may you be here to guide us in our thinking and in our conversation. And we want to have this time, this whole service of worship and reflection and prayers and scripture and conversation be something that would be pleasing to you and also be inspiring for us. And so lead us in the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. For 10 years, Journey Home Community has been trying to build awareness and advocate on behalf of refugees. And I must admit that the going has been a little difficult at times. There's been negative media attention over these years. There's been public backlash. There's been a government kind of squeezing the refugee issues and closing the door. But in 7 short weeks this fall, that all changed. Some of you remember the beginning of the media attention. I think it was September 2nd when we saw the picture of a lifeless child washed up on a beach. And then 6 or 7 weeks later, on October 19th, there was a Canadian election and the government response changed. And all of a sudden, those of us involved in refugee ministry saw this 180-degree shift in terms of public response and government response and even to some degree church response. And so over these past few months, as you are well aware, there's been much attention in the news given to refugee issues. Articles have been written, blogs have been posted, comments have been given, conversations have been aired, opinions have been reflected, and it became for Canada an election issue and seems to be becoming one for our neighbors to the south of USA. So, what kind of a response should we have as a nation, as the church, and even as individual followers of Jesus to this massive attention being given to refugees? It seems to me that there is an inevitable clash of two kingdoms here. And the title of the sermon today asks the question, in whose kingdom do you and do I live? The answer may not be as obvious as we think. First of all, a definition of kingdom. Contrary to some evangelical thinking, the biblical notion of the kingdom or the kingdom of God is not a future eternal destination that we're all aspiring to, nor is it a national institution or government as some think. Rather, it is the rule of God on earth, here and now. And it's being carried out through his followers. That's you and I. Kingdom living is being enacted among us, and of course, culminating with the eternal dimension. But I think that's very critical for our understanding, and misunderstood has been the cause of untold grief and political misdirection, especially among followers of Jesus. Do you remember some of the conversation between Jesus and his disciples and the crowd about the kingdom? A lot of misunderstanding, and I think perhaps some frustration on the part of Jesus. Even at the end of Jesus' life, before he ascended to heaven, we read in Acts 1:6, we have the question from the disciples, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And we think, why didn't they get it? I mean, it was after the resurrection now. Surely they would start cluing in to all of the information and teaching that Jesus had given. But I would propose that we are still living with our own variations of that same question. Lord, shouldn't we be very careful about who we let into our kingdom or nation? After all, you've given this land to us in Canada to own and rule. Lord, how many refugees can we responsibly take in? We don't want to upset the delicate economic balance that we have established over the resources that we own. What about the lifestyle we have worked so hard to create for ourselves? Lord, won't these newcomers be a threat to the Canadian social fabric that we have established? We've been working so hard to restore values that would make this a truly Christian nation. And now we have all these other religions threatening our activity. Lord, this refugee issue is kind of upsetting our notion of restoring the kingdom to Canada. So, the sermon in a sentence could be stated thus. God's call is one of continuously switching kingdom allegiance. God's call is one of continuously switching kingdom allegiance. From our kingdom to his. From a national allegiance to allegiance to him. And doing that constantly. It's a continual renewal of allegiance, sometimes daily, perhaps hourly. I heard the definition some time ago that commitment is making the same decision over and over again. And I think that commitment to his kingdom requires that constant remaking of the same decision. I'd like to suggest this morning four characteristics of the kingdom and then relate these four characteristics to our refugee response. First, the kingdom's inhabitants are pilgrims. They are not permanent settlers or residents. Did you pick that up from Hebrews 11 this morning? Abraham lived as an alien dwelling in tents. Verse 9. He lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Sounds a lot like a modern day refugee camp, doesn't it? And later in the passage, it says that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They made it clear that they were seeking a country of their own, and there was this journey to a land that God was calling them to. The name of our ministry, Journey Home Community, is a name that has a number of different levels of meaning. I think it certainly reflects the journey that refugees are on in finding a home, but it also reflects the journey that all of us are on finding a real home, the country that God has established for us. And this is what these heroes of faith were looking for in Hebrews 11. Indeed, they had been thinking of that country from which they went out. They would have had opportunity to return, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And as I suggested earlier, that country starts here and now, and of course, culminates in the eternal dimension. So they were strangers and exiles, looking for a different kind of country. We think of Moses and the Exodus. Temporary residence, 400 years, mind you, but temporary residence in Egypt. And Acts again states that the Israelites were aliens in a foreign land. Jesus didn't even seem to have his own home. And isn't our inclination first to settle and then to accumulate? But those aren't the characteristics of pilgrims or sojourners. We kind of laugh at refugee families who come and even in a few short weeks or months at Olivet Welcome Houses begin to accumulate. And that's just kind of the nature of how we do things. But in our real pilgrimage, we travel lightly and loosely because we don't want to get bogged down with things that will inhibit us from the kind of journey that God is calling us to. Peter in 2 Peter 2:11 talks about us being aliens and strangers. And any of you who have connected with refugees know this to be true of the refugee journey. Refugees are truly pilgrims and strangers. And I think particularly of the asylum seekers or refugee claimants whom we reach out to as our target population in Journey Home. Because even after they arrive in Canada, unlike those who are sponsored and when they get off the plane, they are permanent residents of Canada, refugee claimants, unlike them, are still looking to find out whether they will maintain convention refugee status. And so they come and have a hearing and it's determined whether their refugee claim is legitimate and whether they will be able to continue on now as permanent residents. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about their future. And if anyone understands the refugee journey, it should be the citizens of God's kingdom. We are pilgrims and strangers, not primarily citizens of Canada. Well, second, the kingdom's approach is radical. It is countercultural. It violates some of the cultural norms and values that we have adopted as citizens. And may I say that the kingdom is actually countercultural to some of the culture that we find in the church. There is a clash, folks, and we see it being played out. I think of this radical element throughout Scripture. Scripture is filled with radical movement and responses. You may remember the notion of Jubilee in Israel's nation building. The idea that every 50 years land would return to the original clan and tribe to which it was given on their entry into the land of Canaan. Whoa, can we imagine anything even approaching that happening in our world? It's a pretty radical movement, even in that day. We look at Peter in Acts chapter 10. And he was hungry and had this vision of a sheet coming down and all of these crawling creatures, many of which were abominable to the Jewish nation. And God said, Peter, kill and eat. And what was Peter's response to God? No. No way. I've never done that. And Danielle Strickland has written an article in the recent December issue of the Light magazine where she focuses on this time of Peter, and her article is called Letting Go. Peter had to let go of some of those notions that he had grown up with. And she asks in that article, what are the barriers to living in an open-handed way to God's call? And she says, fear, for one. We've heard that word a lot with respect to refugees, haven't we? So I ask us this morning, what are we hanging on to? And what might be your sheet that up to now has seemed forbidden to you, but God is calling you to embrace? Perhaps something that to you seems rather radical. I would encourage you to let go and embrace. Refugee ministry can be radical for some. We tend to have an exhibit every year at Missions Fest, and we want to sort of try and get the refugee agenda on the table of the church and of Christian ministries and organizations. And I remember my colleague Brad in one of his first years at Missions Fest saying to me, James, I was surprised at the pushback I was getting from the Christian community around refugees. And that's not together uncommon. I think even recently of a prominent leader, evangelical leader in the USA and others who are responding to this political rhetoric of keeping Muslims out of our nations and supporting that kind of thinking. Are we willing to be countercultural? Let me take this moment to say thank you to all of you at Olivet Church for your support over these past, particularly 3+ years, as we have managed the refugee houses next door, which you own. And so thank you for these housing facilities that you provide, the use of church space that you've given to our organization on occasion, those of you who've been involved individually, and the recent Christmas Eve offering that you provided. Thank you. You have done some countercultural things in your church community with your resources. And we at Journey Home thank you for the vision you've had in response to refugee needs over the years. Well, the third kingdom characteristic is that the kingdom entrance is by invitation and it's freely chosen. This is not a citizenship that one is born into, nor is it forced upon anyone. Entrance into this kingdom is different, and it's like a breath of fresh air into our world that is so governed by force and manipulation and conflict. This whole idea of invitation reminds me of the page on the current Canadian government website, #WelcomeRefugees. I tell you, for us, that's been heartwarming to see a government refugee website or a government website with a page that's welcoming refugees. Check it out, #WelcomeRefugees. It keeps very up-to-date information on the Syrian refugee crisis. I went on the website, I think it was yesterday. 6,064 Syrian refugees have arrived. 4,639 more applications have been approved. 17,676 applications are in process. And here's an interesting one. 61,391 text messages have been sent by the Canadians to Syrian refugees inviting them to Canada. And there's other things. You can check it out, and it's updated very regularly, and you can kind of track what's happening with the Syrian refugee crisis. This whole idea of welcome and invitation also reminds me of the writing of C.S. Lewis, where he talks about the schoolboy being satisfied with making mud pies at home when there is an invitation to a holiday by the sea awaiting him. How we are satisfied with so little when God is inviting us to experience so much. I'm not much for the motivation of guilt as being a healthy incentive for sustaining long-term positive action. I would rather invite people into the fabulous experience of letting go of the smallness of our ambitions and stepping into all that God has for us. It's an incomparable trade. As we look for, with Journey Home Community, as we look for churches to partner and invitations to individuals to volunteer with us, I'm looking for people whom God is already tapping on the shoulder and calling out to be part of His grand adventure. That motivates me, and I suspect it motivates you. And what a 10 years it's been in this refugee adventure. So, the kingdom inhabitants are pilgrims. The kingdom's approach is radical. The kingdom's entrance is by invitation. And fourth, the kingdom's scope is all-encompassing. The kingdom of God spans time. It overrides national boundaries. It is a historical, global movement of Jesus' followers. And for these followers, it affects every part of their lives. But because they freely accept the invitation, they also welcome the opportunity for transformation. One of our Journey Home beliefs is that we are all mutually transformed as we work in ministry together. God is as interested in what's happening in our lives internally as He is in the service we are doing for Him and for refugees. Do you think about it that way? God's as interested in what's going on in our lives and in transforming us as He is in what He can get out of us in terms of service. I think it's easy for us in looking at how to respond to the refugee crisis to have one of two responses. First, it's easy to fear, to be hesitant, indeed to be protective, maybe even to find rationale for our hesitancy in the response of other church people. We pray, "Thy kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven," but we don't much want that to really happen because it might upset our agendas. Perhaps we need to pause before we easily repeat that prayer the next time. Our response is often one of non-hospitality rather than radical hospitality. So that can be easily our first response. Or we might be tempted to fall into the other ditch of glad-handing our refugee accomplishments and pointing our fingers at our neighbors to the south who just don't seem to get it. So we stand in judgment and we live with this attitude of self-righteousness. But before we get too smug, let me point you to a recent National Post column where Matthew Fisher says that we should beware of being too self-congratulating as Canadians. If we want to really compare, let's compare ourselves not to the USA, but to Sweden, where proportionate to their population and what their nation has done, we should be taking in 670,000 refugees, or 210,000 to match what Finland has done, or 450,000 to match Germany. And all of a sudden, our response pales a little bit when we get this global perspective. So, I think our proper Christian response is neither of those. We don't stand in fear and hesitancy, and we don't kind of glad hand and slap ourselves on the back and say how great we are doing. Rather, it's one that embraces what the God of the nations is doing and asks Him how we can be involved in this great kingdom adventure. In Acts 10, God was inviting Peter into a new way of living. And as Peter began to embrace that journey, he began to be part of turning the world upside down. Just think of what he would have missed if he would have kept saying no. But he didn't. And that kind of adventure is what I want to be a part of. Don't you? That gives us purpose and meaning and fulfillment and takes us into a whole new realm of living. It's been a grand experience for me these past 10 years of refugee ministry. Let me share one experience just recently. Abdul sent me an email and invited me to visit with him a few weeks ago before he said he was leaving, so I sensed the importance of connecting with him. We got together for coffee a few nights later, and he shared with me a little more of his story. Abdul is an Afghan Islamic scholar, but of the reformed and moderate wing of Islam. And of course, as you can well imagine, that doesn't go well with radical places in Afghanistan. And so Abdul and his family fled to Canada and became part of Journey Home Community and have been involved in our community for the last number of years. Well, Abdul was invited by the government of Afghanistan to come back and to help and to assist the country, which he has been doing now for, I think this was his second or third trip for a series of months at a time, with the promise of protection as he comes back. And I think he said that he was living in a well-protected place close to the presidential palace. I listened for 2 hours as he shared his impact in Afghanistan. He reports, I believe, to the president of Afghanistan's chief of staff. He's been invited to form a council, actually to a radical incident that happened in Afghanistan this past spring. And he countered the suggestions made to him and said, no, we need to do it this way. We need to stand up to this fanatical mullah. And he brought the group on board with him. He's been invited to help prepare curriculum for Islamic teaching in schools to reflect a more moderate approach. He has written articles to reinterpret the radical elements of the Quran. He believes that freedom of religion is a human right and should be granted to everyone. And I looked at him and I said, but Abdul, that's not very common Muslim thinking, is it? And he kind of smiles and agrees. He has a following in the young adult and student population. And this is what I get to be involved in. This is what we get to be involved in, hearing the stories of people like Abdul. And at the end of our conversation, I just said, Abdul, can I pray for you? You have an important role. And I had the opportunity to listen to him, to encourage him, and to pray for him. That's the kind of part of the grand adventure that God is calling us into. Those are the kinds of things that we don't often hear out on the news reports and in the public domain. I think the last time I spoke here, I may have asked you whether you consider refugees to be a liability, an obligation, or an opportunity. And I hope that together we can embrace the last of those three choices. There have been many opportunities for us at Journey Home Community to take advantage of the opportunity to walk with refugees in their journey. I think of those who have come to us, and I think particularly of a single mom coming to faith and being baptized, not being allowed to stay in Canada, but having to go back to her home country and there teaching a Discovering Jesus class in her hometown. I think of others who have come to faith and have been baptized and have been allowed to stay and remain in Canada and have now started off on a new path and a new journey in Canada. And I think of the many more that we've been able to encourage and pray with and help along in their road to integration here. So, this is God's call to us. One of continuously switching kingdom allegiance, and I might add, for the church, as well as for us as individuals. It is a kingdom where the inhabitants are pilgrims. The approach is radical. The entrance is by invitation and freely chosen. And the scope is all-encompassing. So if we put that all together, we can say that we are pilgrims, given an invitation to practice radical hospitality that has an all-encompassing impact on our lives and the lives of our community. I'm not sure what God may be inviting your church into, or what He may be inviting you into, but do yourselves a big favor and say yes. Be part of what Danielle Strickland in her article called Creating a New Future Reality. Now, that's the kind of kingdom invitation that I can't refuse. Won't you come and join me? I'd like to take the liberty, and I probably don't usually do this, but Grant, we sang that song about the kingdom earlier on, and I just think we need to sing that again. That just so expresses some of the things that we've been talking about and thinking about this morning. And so let's sing that as a response of switching our allegiance to the kingdom of God as we conclude our conversation this morning.